try again.
All right, good Tuesday night, everyone. Tuesday night means double L on the Kayak Fishing Radio. All right, starting to get people trickling into the chat room. Got Mark Wheeler already on the phone, and I have my best half in Virginia. Chris, how's it going up there, wife?
Windy, it's blowing up here. Warm, but blowing.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, is it warm? Well, that's good.
Upper 60s.
Oh, wow. Jeez. The same weather we're having down here. It's one thing I've kind of noticed. It seems like the weather doesn't get too much different between you guys and down here. It was cold last weekend, and it was cold last weekend at home. So, very cool. So, is it supposed to stay warm for a while, or is it going to cool back off?
Today was it.
Well, that's all right. You're going to be indoors this weekend at the fishing show, so you
Saturday,
won't be cold then.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there all day Saturday with the girls, fishing for those trout.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a little while. I got some events, upcoming events we'll go over, and then we'll talk about what we were just talking about now, where you're going this weekend. Very cool. All right, some more coming in. Got a lot of guests. If you're a guest on here, you can log in using your Facebook account or make your own login for free, and then you can chat with us in the chat room, ask questions, or get in on all the other fun that goes on in the chat room. So,
yeah, try to let me log in. Their loader.
Oh, you're not even logged in. All right, go ahead, log in.
Oh, no, I'm trying to.
Oh.
It's just not working. I'm one of the many guests.
You're on lockdown. You're on lockdown tonight.
Yeah, but he can talk to us.
Yeah, you can talk. We got you on air.
I can talk all day.
Of course, if guests are super gutsy, they can call in, too. You can call in with your Skype or your cell phone. You can dial 714-816-4727 to be live with the Loggers.
Nothing like that, huh? That's a top show right there, live with the Loggers. Very cool. Well, first thing I'm going to touch on is the upcoming Boondoggle. We touch on it almost everybody touches on it because it's coming up. Talk about it. It's a great event. Going to be in Chokoloskee, Florida on the President Day weekend in February. What is that, Mark? The 20-something? 20? I always forget to write down dates.
It's next month, actually. It starts next month on this date.
There you go.
And goes all the way till the 20th. So.
Right on. Yeah, so Chokoloskee, I looked today. There's one cabin left and a few tent sites left, but I've been told that there's also places, obviously, out in town you can stay. So if you do not, there goes Chip. Thanks, Chip. 17th through the 21st. If you don't get one of those cabins or tents or you're not into the camping thing, I'm sure you can find a Super 8 or something. Some other accommodations close enough that you can go on down if you haven't already made plans to go down. I was looking at the itinerary today. They had the whole schedule up. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fishing, obviously, and a lot of eating, too, it looks like. There's food and fishing scheduled every day, so what else could you ask for? But anyway, so you can also get that information off of yakangler.com/boondoggle. And you can also get it here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Show. I would assume that's, /boondoggle also. So, like I said, if you're not aware, just a big get-together put on by Yak Angler and Kayak Fishing Radio. Everybody's just going to get together and go fishing. Be kind of cool if you frequent any of those sites. You can kind of put some names with some faces and vice versa, which I had the privilege of doing this past weekend. So it sounds like a good time down there. I don't know, what is this, the second one, third one, Mark? How many have you done? Wheeler? Hello, Wheeler.
I didn't mute him, so he's still there.
He's eating cookies again. But anyway, so That's what the Boondoggle coming up. So, like I said, check it out if you're interested. For all those that are going, I'm jealous. Chris and I would love to be there, but we got something to do the following weekend. So we will not be able to make that, but we're definitely going to make one someday. Hey, look, Philip Rucker, the Actual Fish, just checked in. Chat room's filling up now. We got some people from our neck of the woods in there. Joseph Ocampo, Hanover Yacker, that would be my friend Chuck Wren. Chip, I already mentioned. Greg, always. Big Fly, you know what? I'm going to be rude and say Big Fly. I do not know your first name, so go ahead and throw it up. What's his name, Mark? I'm bad with names.
That's Greg Becker.
There you go. That is Mr. Becker. That's right. Mr. Becker's in the house. I missed him on Saturday. I didn't get to go down Saturday. I went Sunday. Very cool. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming in the room.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to go ahead.
Uh-oh. Tommy V just showed up. It's trouble now. Just watch for the second Tom, and we're really in trouble.
All right. We can kick him out if we need to. So with that, the Boondoggle's coming up. I got some other couple events coming up that I want to hit, and then I'm going to go to fishing reports, and then I'm going to give you a little breakdown of my weekend's fun down here and whatever else we can get into tonight. The next thing is this weekend in the Richmond area, for all of the local people on our side there, is Richmond Fishing Expo. It's at the Meadow Event Park Fairgrounds in Doswell, Virginia. Great show. I've been doing it for probably 6 or 7 years now, and unfortunately not be able to attend this year, but it's a big fishing expo and boat show. Not so much a boat show as it is a fishing expo. Great speakers. It's really was geared in the beginning to bass, and now they've switched it over and have it pretty much 50-50 into the saltwater and the freshwater market. I've met bass. I've seen everybody there. We're starting to get a lot of saltwater anglers in there. So for anybody in the Richmond area, go check it out. It's a great show. It's not a bad drive anywhere. It's from Virginia. It's at the new fairgrounds near King's Dominion. Everybody knows where King's Dominion is. And if you're a history buff, it is on the grounds that Secretariat was, I guess, raised on and trained on. Everybody knows who Secretariat is in the horse world. One of the big three. So that's where the fairgrounds now has been moved in Virginia. So, but anyway, so that's a good show to go do if you got nothing to do this weekend, if it's going to be cold. Yeah, same exit as King's Dominion, Chris just said, so you can't miss it. It's very cool. Very good show. So take it in. And speaking of fishing shows, did anybody see, I meant to mention this to Chip when I was fishing with him on Sunday. They had a big boat show, fishing show in Atlanta. I guess it was last week. Did you see this, Mark? And the bass tank broke. They had that big bass tank, like the tractor trailer size that they towed around. They have a little fish in there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the tank broke. And I don't think the show had opened yet because there was like hardly anybody in the building. And it was just a deluge of water just going through the whole Coliseum. I guess that's what it is in Atlanta. And the water was just rushing out the building and fish. It was pretty wild. But yeah, I saw it on YouTube or something, and they showed all the people running, the tank broke, and water's going everywhere, all the boats were in there. It's pretty crazy. Hoping nothing like that happens this weekend.
Save the bass, save the bass.
So anyway, so that's a good event coming up. And I just wanted to mention that next weekend our local Kayak Anglers Club's having their party and awards dinner on January 28th. So for any of the Kayak Anglers TKA members, or even if you're not want to be a member, you can go check that out at TKA. It's a good time there, and they're going to have the Angler of the Year awards will be that weekend. And I'm proud to say that I'm married to the Angler of the Year for the Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association. She already knows she won it, so she's going to be receiving that next weekend. So congratulations, wife.
Thank you.
Very proud of you. She's competing mostly against all the men in the club, not that that matters. Fish don't know if you're a male or female, young or old, when you're fishing for them. But once again, I'm very proud of Chris, and it's pretty awesome to have a Angler of the Year in the house, and it's your wife, so very cool. And now I'm going to go, we got some fishing reports from our neck of the woods, just for anybody who's listening, hasn't got out, or wants to get back out. striper are still doing really good. I guess off of Sandbridge is the best bite now. I see that Chuck Rand, like I mentioned earlier, is in here. He still was catching them as of last week around the HRBT and all. So they're still inshore. You can't keep them, but you can go out and have a great time, especially if you're in a kayak and you don't want to go out there and get in the middle of the boatillas and everything on the beachfront. You can get out there and play with some stripers in the light line. Have you been out at all, Wheeler, to do any striper fishing lately?
I've just been from the shoreline, you know, just at the jetties at Rudy.
Okay.
You know, just playing around there. But a few trout still around, surprisingly. But the stripers, when the bluefin tuna were thick, those stripers were pinned up against the shoreline, and it was like taking candy from a baby. But my main goal all year long, man, beginning of the year, was this bass stuff. So that's my focus here and there, nothing huge.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and I heard that too, that there is still some speckled trout inside of Rudy Inlet. Hit or miss, I guess. It's not crazy. But definitely did hear that there's some speckled trout there. And, of course, the Elizabeth River, another great place for the trout this time of year if you can get in there. Mirror lures seem to be the predominant talk of town if you're not using live bait. So you can get in now. That's the only problem with the Elizabeth River now in our neck of woods. They closed the best and only ramp really for kayakers to use. So not to find an ulterior method of launching, I guess, for that area. So, and then how about the your little private lake that's not so private after last week's show, Mark? Didn't you have you been fishing over there after you broadcast it out? I'm not gonna.
Stumpy Lake, folks. If you get a chance to fish it, it's a great opportunity. But give it a few weeks. They for whatever reason the water depth or the water level dropped about a foot and a half in a week. Now, when you get on the lake, you would be thinking, what the heck's going on? I mean, the deepest part of the first three-quarters of that lake is about 2.5 feet right now. So the bass aren't there. The water temps are sitting like 41 degrees. But you have to make the long paddle to the rocks where it gets down to 8, 9, 10 feet in some spots. And that's where the bass are sitting. If you can make that paddle down there, it's a lot of fun because they're stacked. Every last bass in that whole lake is going to be stacked in there. And then, you know, once it starts warming up, folks, when that temp hits 52, 53 degrees, hang on, because those bass are going to come up and spawn on those flats, and it's burning spinnerbait time. So
there you go. Well, I'll look to you for that freshwater stuff, because that's one thing I don't do any of, so I'll keep my ears pinned to your show, and I'll have to get out there with you, like you joined us for some speckled trout fishing. Well, when I get back home, we'll go do some freshwater fishing.
Hey, Mark, there was
to
add insult to injury, the Stumpy Lake thing is no longer a secret. There was an article in the Beacon on Sunday. It was on the front page.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
it's still nice because they're keeping it no motor, right? It's a no motor lake, so.
No
motor.
Only.
And it's ADA compliant. Which is awesome. If you haven't launched from there, it is one of the coolest experiences. You drag it down, you stick your kayak in this trough, and you can see where they have set up for people with wheelchairs
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. You basically get in your kayak before it's even in the water, and then you just grab a hold of the bars and just roll them off. And you just kind of slide right in the water, and you're off. It's pretty
wow.
cool. Well, and landing it,
cool.
you just kind of take a couple paddle strokes and get the bow up, grab the railing and pull yourself up and get right out.
Huh. Very cool. I'll have to look at doing a Howe event over there or something, do some lake fishing with the Howe guys or something. Big parking lot, good, nice parking, all that. Good. Yeah, cool. Well, I'll definitely check that out when I get home. I always used to drive by there and I always say, man, I bet you that Stumpy Lake's probably pretty good, but I knew you could never get in. I used to see people at the spillway always fishing and stuff, but never seen anybody on the lake, obviously, because you weren't allowed to go. Very cool.
Hey, Mark.
All right. Yes. What's Mark?
Our Richmond friend Tom is in the chat room. Did you want to take a whack at his name?
No, I'm not even going to butch it again this week. Anybody who doesn't is listening, one of our friends in the chat room, fishing buddies, is I butched his last name, I guess, last week on the air, so he made sure to let me know how bad I butched his name. So I won't even go there with you this week, Tom. You just go ahead and you just be Tom to me. How about that?
Would
Tom
you like,
with the TH.
Would you like me to do it now?
Oh, yeah. You promised him you'd say it in the correct German pronunciation, so go ahead.
Just see what he'd offer me first to say it live on the air.
Hey, hey.
Okay. For the record, the proper German pronunciation would be Tom Matau. Tom Matau. Hope you're happy now. That's as good as it gets.
Now everybody's joking them. All right. Well, if you need German pronunciations, you just come to Kayak Fishing Radio and we'll get you guys straightened out. All right. We got any other callers? I'm not over there on that end. You got anybody else on the line? Yeah, we got a couple more. Hey, look, it's Philip. Philip, you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing pretty good. Doing real good. How's things in your neck of the woods in North Carolina?
Yeah. Sunday it was about a high of 42 and today we were up to 65, so it's been all over the map.
Right. Been out in the water? Got any fishing done?
This last weekend was a wash. We had the Big Rock Sports Show, which is the dealer venue.
Henry Show.
Yeah, the Henry Show. So we're there Friday for that. We've got a lot of new products coming in to the shop, which is Get Outdoors. In Greensboro, North Carolina.
Very cool.
And then we did.
So, if you went to the Henry Show, tell us real quick. We can change subjects. Tell us, you see anything cool, something out of the new that nobody maybe, or something that was what was going on there. For everybody's not familiar, Henry's. I'll spit it out, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Phils. But Henry's show is Henry's is what the largest probably wholesale. Is that the right word? Wholesale dealer for fishing supplies in the country, I would say. All the years I worked in the tackle business, everything came from Henry's, it seemed like. So they invite all the all of their accounts and all. They come down there and they have the vendors and everybody show up and they get to show their. It's kind of like a smaller ICAST, so to speak, I guess, right? Is that probably safe to say?
It is. They sweeten the pot with firearms as well, a lot of hunting gear and so forth. I enjoy a good firearm just like any other guy, I guess. We didn't get a whole lot of time to go through that, which was half the whole venue. And there's a number of baits there. Live Target's got some new hard baits coming out. We didn't have – it's, of course, not as big as ICAST, so you don't see a lot of the new – innovative. Spro's got a new BB, I think it's a BBZ1, which is a 2.5-inch hard swim bait, slow sinking. It looks pretty nice. Not a whole lot of individual personal small tackle dealers. It's all the major brands, really.
Mm-hmm.
You might pick a few here and there that are got a little mix and mash of a few different things, but nothing that jumped out and say, man, I got to get that. Like last year, ICAST and the Dahlberg Diving Frog, I really like that bait, and they've got a new one out, a smaller version of that as well.
Cool.
Good show, though.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I know Corey was in the chat room. He went to it on Sunday, and so I haven't heard back from him how he thought of the show or what was going on down there. I always stayed at the tackle shop. It was always a big deal. Everybody fought and scratched to see who wanted to go down there. But it's a lot of work too if you're in the tackle industry side of it, because you're working at trying to get the best deals you can for the product. So you're putting all your lists together for the upcoming year of what you want to stock in the store. So I always opted to sit at the shop and sell baits, then go down there and have to work and buy stuff, so never made it down, but that's cool. Yeah, well, I'm glad you went, and thanks for telling us about it.
Definitely.
Let's see if I can get through another caller real. Go ahead. What are you saying?
We got our order in, so things should start coming in pretty soon.
Yeah, they knock it out fast. That's the only thing I hated about this time of the year is because the owners and all would go to the show, and then about a couple weeks later, the UPS trucks came every day with boxes on boxes, and you had to unload and check it all in and start to fill in the pegs. Yeah,
right.
It gets pretty hectic right after the Henry show, that's for sure.
So guys, well, just about every fisherman should be wearing sunglasses of some sort, but the company Cables, C-A-B-L-Z, and eyeglass retainers, they just had, I think they got them in 2 days before the show, a new line, and they're called Zips. And what they are, their previous versions was one solid either stainless steel cable or the mono line. And those work great, except when it gets cold and you don't want to put your glasses over a hat or a stocking-type cap or your hood. There are basically two lines that can zip, if you will, over each other. So they'll snug up to the back of your head.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Right.
So we got some samples of those and got an order in on those. Those are pretty cool. It wasn't a lure or anything like that, but it's still, you know, gear, a piece of equipment that's useful and innovative.
Yeah, well, was it 2 years ago? Cables won the ICAST Award for innovative products, so it doesn't have to be always lures or tackle or rods and reels to be appealing to anglers, so that's pretty cool, yeah.
You know, have to check those out.
But, yeah, I will, because actually I use those in all my... Every one of my five pair of Costas has one on them, so now that means I have to get either more Costas or more cables, I guess.
Yeah. One of the real cool things about it, too, if you put your glasses in a case, you know, with a single strand, you'd have to flip it over, bend it to loop it to get it in there. With these, you can just zip them towards each other, towards the eyepiece, and then they'll fit inside your case without distorting the cable.
Nice.
Yeah,
definitely. All right, well, we'll have to check that out. Well, thanks for that tip. Who else we got in the chat and the call room? Rob, you on there, Rob?
Yeah, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Just listening to the show.
How
you guys doing?
Bad fat cat. Doing great. Doing real good. Are you all set and ready to go to the boondoggle in a few weeks? You getting your stuff together?
Absolutely. I'm psyched, man. I already got my stuff together. I'm going to start packing in about another week or so because, you know, it takes me a while.
Right.
I haven't busted the camping gear out for a while, so I need to – it'll take me some time.
Yeah, make sure you check it once, check it twice. And...
That's right. Are you making an appearance?
That's not far from you, though, is it? Excuse me?
No, well, it's about 2.5 hours, maybe 3. But are you making an appearance?
No, I won't be able to. I'll still be here working, but the following week I'm going to the Greensboro show, so I'm picking choosing my time to take off. So, yeah, I'll be in Greensboro the following weekend for the Central Carolina Boat and Fishing Show. So, no, I won't be. I did the little mini boondoggle this weekend, which I was going to talk about here shortly with Chip and Chuck, so I didn't make it down Saturday for Mr. What's that?
I was gonna go to that. I was gonna go, but all my friends were saying, you know, in my area, were saying, "Oh, that's too far to go fishing."
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
It's never
but
too far.
Okay.
If you can pull it off, you should go. Yeah.
Oh no, I love going.
It's a shame
I love going
over
there, man.
Yeah, it was a good
Absolutely.
Time. I guess I could. That would be a good segue for me to talk about my Sunday trip before we run out of time here soon. But, yeah, I wish you would have came, Rob. That would have been cool to have met you, too. That was the nice thing about going down there is I got to meet a couple of the people I've talked to and chatted with on here. So for anybody who doesn't know, this past weekend, I guess, let's see, Chip, Hayward, Mr. Becker, I'm going to miss somebody, and Chuck, Saturday, they all got together and fished in Chuck's neck of the woods. I didn't make that, but I made it Sunday, and by that time, Haywood and Mr. Becker there had already left to go home. So anyway, long story short, so I went down. It's about a two-hour drive from where I'm staying here in Florida working, and to fish the Mosquito Lagoon area, Indian River, to be more specific, is where we went that day. And it was very cool. I was probably the most humbled and frustrated I had ever been at fish in my life. If anybody gets an opportunity to go down there and fish, you need to go. It was incredible. The fish were everywhere. I'm not making excuses. I don't know if the night before, well, about 2 to 3 days before all that, it dropped a lot down here. And temperature-wise, we had the previous week, it was in the 80s, low 80s, high 70s. On my travels down there that day, it was 29 degrees when I left the house here at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like, 29 degrees? I'm supposed to be in Florida, not Virginia. But anyway, so it was pretty cold. Yeah, it was pretty cold to get started. But, yeah, we got out there first thing in the morning, just slick calm. Everybody told me the day before it blew. They had a terrible time in the wind. They really had to work hard out there, but it was flat calm. And we started right out seeing some fish activity. We didn't really see any fish in the beginning. So we kind of, you know, poked around. And then Chuck had picked up some shrimp for some live bait, and he got some shrimp on there. And I was like, shrimp? I said, man, if my wife and everybody back home finds out I was using live bait, I'm going to catch crap. And he's like, don't. I don't like it either, but you got to use them for the black drum, which I don't know anything about that down here. Back home, we can throw bucktails at the black drum, but also the black drum we target are more the real big ones. Down here, it's the, I don't know what's the class of them, but they're the eating size, I guess, would be the what everybody's looking for down here. So anyway, so we got out there, and we all kind of spread out, and Chuck's whistling and hollering, telling us to come over there, and he had a big school of black drums swimming around him. So we all got tied up with the shrimp, and they were literally swimming into the kayak, and we were throwing. Chip threw his shrimp. His son was with him. He threw his. We're all, but they weren't taking it. Poor Chuck, he's over there kicking him. He's like, they never pass up on a shrimp. So we were like, it's all good, dude. So we moved on down the bank, whatever, and same thing. Now we started seeing more activity. I saw, I don't know how many reds swim around the boat. Finally, we get to a spot that we waited. Of course, I was the only one without waders, so it took a little while to acclimatize myself to the water. But I jumped in, and there was so many reds, guys. The swimming, they were pushing this mullet around, but they weren't even eating them. They were like playing with them almost, and they were circling around, and you could see them. We were throwing everything. Everybody's tying new baits, trying again. I had 3 and 4 reds at a time swimming right by my feet. They weren't even like spooked by you, but they weren't taking any bites. I was like, man, this is frustrating. It's almost more frustrating than fishing and not catching anything, but you don't see anything, if that makes any sense. It was crazy. It was like that the whole morning. But then the wind picked up really hard, so we pulled up stakes, and Chuck took us to another spot, which was even better but worse than the previous spot, because then we were just trout everywhere. And we don't get a lot of that by us where you can sight fish like the fish that way. I mean, they were just swimming around under the boat. Chuck had a real nice red right off the bat. I got a little spike trout. But the funniest thing was is we were drifting with the wind, and you were casting up in front and catching up to your bait and going down the bank. And everywhere as I threw, you fan cast, you would drift, and when you drifted over the area you were just casting, there was like trout everywhere, but they never took anything. It was just, I don't know, it was crazy. I started calling it the aquarium. I don't know if that's a common thing down here. Is it like that in your neck of the woods, Rob? Do you get a lot of sight fishing where you see them, but they just don't chew at certain times? Or?
Actually, snook are notorious for that.
Really?
I can't tell you how many times I've found some snook, and, you know, they only feed, like, when they feel like it or whatever. I haven't quite figured that out yet. But, yeah, you'll see them stacked up, and you're throwing everything in your tackle box at them, and they're just not eating anything. Also, on dock lights at night, you know, you'll be there with the nice underwater dock lights where it lights up everything, and it looks like an aquarium, and you can see, you know, tons of fish, and you're, you know, 15 feet away from this dock, and you can see everything swimming around, and you're you're throwing everything into your tackle box at them, and they're chasing them, and they're mouthing it and everything, but nobody's eating anything. So I don't quite understand that, but it can be kind of frustrating. It's kind of cool to see, you know, because I don't get a lot
a
of night fishing opportunities here. I don't get a whole lot of sight fishing opportunities here. I'm more of a zone, what you would call a zone fisherman, where you fish. It's kind of like bass fishing, you know. You kind of cast areas where, a drop-off or a piece of structure sitting in the middle somewhere or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is back home for us. Yeah, you're fishing structure and drop-offs, ledges, creek mouth. Yeah, that's kind of the way. We don't have that opportunity either. So I just saw where Chip put it. It was just stupid. I know Chip paddled up to me after a while, and it was kind of funny because he's like, I changed baits 4 times, and the whole time I was changing baits, I looked at the same fish, and they kept swimming in front of me, and he had the time literally to sit there and retie another bait and throw it and retie, and they just weren't taking it. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about
it.
I don't know if that cold front, if it cold, but they weren't like, you know, lethargic. I mean, they were swimming around. They were, like I said, those reds earlier in the day, they were just playing with that mullet. They were almost like just circling them up like a pelagic fish, you know. They were like getting them in a big pile, but they weren't eating them. They were just, it was like they were just, I don't know, just letting them know they could do it. But whatever the case may
be. Here's something funny about black drum. That it's a tactic that I learned up in our last President's Day boondoggle up in Jacksonville. Was they were, you take frozen shrimp, right? And I'm not a bait guy either, you know. I'm like really, the amount of times I use bait any given time is slim to nil, you know. And up in Jacksonville, they're saying, yeah, you know, you got to peel, you have a bag of frozen shrimp, and you got to peel them, okay? You got to peel the shell off of them and throw them out there, and the black drum will eat it. And I'm like, what's the difference, you know? What is it? You know, what are they, picky or something? You know, well, sure enough, I threw a frozen shrimp out there. I got nothing all day long, and these guys are pulling, you know, black drum all day off of the peeled frozen shrimp. Now, I don't get it. I don't know why. Maybe it leaves out a certain kind of stink. I don't know.
That's,
you guys
should have
tried that.
They're probably, next thing they'll be telling you, I use cocktail sauce or something with them, right? Some hot butter.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, like I said, it was very humbling, frustrating, but at the same time, it was very cool. I mean, the whole day, I don't know if we saw any deeper than 3 foot of water. I mean, we fished the whole time in 2 foot of water. So, I mean, it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
cool.
The lagoon is definitely a magical place, man.
Yeah, that's why I said if you have not been there and wanted to, I'm definitely going to put it back on the list for a trip that we will have to take back down here to go fish, because I could see where it's probably, when they're on, it's probably a lot of fun when you can fish like that. I mean, there was people out there, you know, the old guys with the polling platforms. I did not see them catching anything. There was a couple of waders, so, you know, people out there wade fishing, and so I don't know, it was just a weird day. But another thing that was kind of cool that day is I got to paddle a Kuda, so that was pretty interesting. I have not paddled a Kusa boat, either of them, but I got to try out Chuck's Kuda, and that was a little learning curve on that thing with the seat up in the air. It was pretty nice in the beginning, but when that wind turned on and you're sitting up a little higher, and of course, stupid me, I didn't drop the seat. I just kept paddling, but that definitely slows you down a little bit. But that was a pretty cool thing to try out this weekend. So I had a lot of firsts this weekend. That's pretty neat. Yeah, it's a shame you couldn't have made it out there, Rob. It would have been pretty cool to see you. Chip, it was nice to meet Chip finally, put a face with his name, and met the clone. Got to meet Chuck, so it's pretty cool. All that Space Coast stuff. That was pretty nice, too, fishing with the Chip's going to have to put it up. I keep messing it up. What's that big building called again? The vehicle. Come on, Chip, help me out. What's this thing called? What am I talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't.
What's
the
that?
Vehicle assembly building.
I'm not the only one. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
did you guys go to Dixie Crossroads?
What is that?
It's a restaurant.
I guess
in Pikesville.
No. Where did Chuck take us to lunch? Old Florida Grill or something like that. We ate dinner, light lunch or whatever. I think it's called the Old Florida Grill.
Dude, next time you're down there, that's part of the big experience in Titusville, man. It's Dixie Crossroads. That place.
Oh, really?
That place is
Chuck
a great.
Chuck was holding out
great,
on me then.
Yeah. Next time you're down, man. We went when we were down there last year, and it was fantastic. I mean, they had, you know, rock shrimp. If you've never had rock shrimp, definitely put that on your things to try list. But it was just a killer old Florida seafood restaurant, you know. And that place is great. Definitely got to make a trip back there, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, this trip down here to Florida, if I'll get back down there, but I'm definitely putting it on my bucket list of a place to go back to and fish, because it's got a lot of potential. I can see it. Anybody that lives around there, it must be hard to go to work if you fish, because it seemed pretty good. I guess they're showing on the chat room now. They went to that Dixie on Saturday, so I was a day late and didn't get to make that one. So, oh, well, that's okay.
See, I missed out on fishing and Dixie Crossroads.
There you go. Yeah. You got to get some different friends, dude. You got to get friends that don't want to travel.
Yeah. I know. Sometimes they have wives that say, oh, that's too far to go fishing. That's not for me, man. I'll go anywhere and go fishing. I don't care.
Right. That's the beauty, I guess, I have, is having a wife that likes to fish. So she get mad when you don't get to go, so... That's pretty good. So you got any plans this weekend to go fishing? What's the weather? What's going on down in your neck of the woods? You doing some fishing?
Yeah, absolutely. The Sunday is supposed to be a banner day. And, you know, due to all the lunar charts and all that stuff. So I'm just keeping an eye on the weather, seeing what that's doing, and that'll dictate where we, in fact, will go. But, yeah, it looks like, I don't know, man. I'm like half and away championship games and really good fishing day. So I think the fishing will definitely win.
Yeah, that football team is not going to help you with anything.
Yeah, I know. Sunday's supposed to be a banner day. So keeping an eye to the sky and seeing what the weather is going to do. But, you know,
right,
talking about that cold front thing, if y'all would have been out there probably Thursday or Friday, you know, the day before the cold front came through, it probably would have been stellar fishing. Because we find, you know, usually the
right
day
before
a cold front or a morning, you know, if the cold front's coming in the evening and that morning, it'll be stellar fishing. You know, if you can actually get on the water without wind and rain and all that stuff associated with cold fronts. Generally, and the theory is that the fish can sense the drop in the barometric pressure coming.
Right.
So they know that they're not going to be able to feed that well in the next couple of days. So they tend to, you know, start stocking up, so to speak. Anyway, that's my theory on it.
Yeah, I've heard that several times, and especially it's true with, like, you know, fish that are a little deeper, too, because of their swim bladders and the balancing thing and all of that out. So,
yeah.
And you're right. I've heard that several times, and I believe it. We didn't make it 2 days before, and I'm sure probably by, like, Tuesday it balanced out, and they probably went back to feeding. You know, it takes them a couple days. to get on it. So the thing is, like I said, everybody out there that day, you know, trying different lures, trying different things. That was kind of that's what I kept thinking. I mean, I slowed down my retrieve. I, you know, tried to twitch it differently. The only thing I didn't do was throw a gulp. I mean, I soaked stuff in Pro-Cure. So that was pretty, you know, it was like, what else could I do besides for the old Ma Bell trick or dynamite or just whatever, so.
Well, you know, that's right. If live shrimp isn't working, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, you know, I guess they're just not eating, you know.
Right.
Because nothing passes up live shrimp. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, that must have been it. So, but like I said, it was a treat. It was awesome. I thank Chip and Chuck for showing me around, and it was an awesome trip. So, no regrets. Had a great time. Definitely was worth everything. So, Mr. Wheeler, are you still with us?
Of course.
Mark. Oh, okay. So what's your upcoming plans? We're getting, what you doing? Are you anything good up in Virginia for going? Are you going fishing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to make the trek out to Kerr Reservoir on Sunday. We got 3 days. It's going to be the third day of really nice weather. So I'm going to make the trek out there because that's where my first tournament is, 3 weeks after that date. And I'm going to slide in the kayak and, you know, poke around there a little bit.
Very cool. Well, we're looking forward to hear how you did on that. So what will you be targeting that on that trip?
That'll be the bass trip.
It'll be a bass trip?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of the guides that run out of North Carolina and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the idea for that time of year is the water level is going to rise up because they're going to close the dam off a little bit, plus the rain. So the shoreline is going to flood out, and all the brush is going to be flooded. And the people go in there, big plastics, big jigs, punch them through the brush and the willows and everything else. I'm going to try something different and work the deeper points with big swim baits, the BBZ 1, 4-inch, the 2.5, one of my own custom-made swim baits. You know, I'm going to, you know, work 15, 20, 30 feet and see if I can pull a larger fish. So get an idea where they might be.
Oh, very cool. Sounds good. I won't be doing any fishing this upcoming weekend. I'll be doing a lot of working. So I'll live through all of you guys vicariously from now on out. And I also guess back home now for everybody who doesn't want to go play with the stripers and the bluefin tuna that are still apparently swimming around. It's time to start doing some togging now. I'm sure you can find some tog on the inshore wrecks and probably some around the bridge and all. It's kind of the beauty of this time of year is once the bay season closes for the striper, there's definitely less boat traffic around that part of town, so you can get out there, try for some tog. And then I see guys in the chat room are talking about the big catfish and stuff. So the James River. Do you do any of that, Wheeler? Do you go up to the James and have you done that with your kayak, fish for the big catfish?
I've done it once. I'd love to do it again. I just, you know, my mind's not on catfish. But I will be making the trek up to the James here in June. There's the BASS or FLW tournament this year on the James in Richmond. I think it's BASS.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm going up for. So I will be fishing, hopefully. Still waiting on a confirmation for that. But that's
the
smallmouth thing.
Yeah, they've had the Bassmasters twice on the James River. Yeah. That's very cool. Rob, we're talking about catfish on the James River. I don't know what the biggest from a kayak is, but I know I've seen them over 70-some pounds, guys who land them on boats. Huge, Rob, just huge catfish. So,
Rob Troy had a couple of big ones.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. He had, 40, 50-pounders he's had. So,
yeah, huge. Disgusting slimy fellow.
Yeah, big slimy fellows.
Chuck might know. Chuck or Tom Mattel.
Yeah, well, they're not going to say because they don't want everybody to be crowding them up there, I guess.
Well, they don't have to
say
where,
yeah.
But how big did Rob Choi catch? I bet you one of them knows right off the bat.
Yeah, they're not saying nothing yet anyway. Somebody said he was cheating. Anyway, so we got the, yeah, so if you're not wanting to go out on the beach and play with the stripers and all the boat traffic out there, I guess for our neck of the woods, you can go 51 pounds. So, yeah, so you can go catch a big catfish on the James River if you got time for that. Now everybody's telling all of his spots. All right. Well, we're getting closer to the downtime here, so I'm going to make sure that I thank everybody and thank my sponsors here and put a shout out to the rest of the week. We got tomorrow night, we got Mr. Mark Landing Crew Wheeler.
Hello.
He didn't give me any insight of what he's going to be talking about tomorrow night, but y'all be sure to tune in to Mark tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Go ahead.
Had a caller talk, I forget who you were, sorry about that, those guys from North Carolina. Talk about swim baits, how to fish swim baits, and how certain swim baits you can actually get them to do a very cool trick, and if there's a bass following it within 15 feet, I can guarantee you he's going to hit that bait every time. So tune in tomorrow night at the same time, same place, for the Landing Crew Hour.
There you go. Same bat time, same bat channel. And then Thursday night will be Chip Tree Hugger Gibson on it Thursday. And then Friday is the always entertaining Spike and Ike. I don't know how many of you guys tune in to Spike, but Spike will definitely, he'll fill your hour up there. Spike's he's a character and a half, but definitely tune in to Spike on Friday night, and then we bring it back around to Monday night with my host Sunday, Redfish Chuck, from down here in the Titusville area is our Monday night host. Be sure, everybody, to go check out the yakangler.com, great forum site, a lot of great information. If you haven't seen it yet, Rob just put up his new little video he made. I shouldn't say little, but Rob's got his video he made. He just put up on Yak Angler this morning. I saw that. And a couple other, Mark, you just did a review on Power Pro. That's on there on Yak Angler. Hayward just did a nice little write-up on his trip Saturday. So there's Yak Angler's plenty to go over there and check out. Great forum. If you're not familiar with it, go check it out. A lot of good people on there. And those, like I said earlier, helping sponsor the Boondoggle. Don't forget, if you're interested, go check out the Boondoggle. Sounds like it's going to be a great time. Sorry, we're going to miss it. Who else am I forgetting tonight? I don't know. Am I forgetting anybody, Chris? Who did I forget? What did I forget? Anything?
I don't think so. I gave you a list.
Oh, she gave me a list. There you go. See how it is? 500 miles away, and I still get list. How about that? Wow. Well, I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room for tuning in tonight. Thank the callers, Philip. I think Rob left, didn't he? Chris, did Rob duck out on us? Yeah, Rob's out. Well, Rob, thank you anyway. Mr. Wheeler, thank you for calling in and giving us some of your insight to the freshwater market there. I look forward to tomorrow night to tuning in about the swim baits.
Hey, Mark.
Cool.
Mark.
Yes.
Chip is giving you a list in the chat room. You forgot the following people: Marshwood.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, I see Chip. I know.
Iowa.
Oh, was it native Iowa? Yeah. Well, I was trying to keep it simple tonight. Sorry, guys.
I could
anyway.
At this point, you know, my daughter is a Girl Scout, so anybody local that wants Girl Scout cookies, send me a private message.
There you go. Sell some cookies. And we're going to do something with Hal with those cookies, too, aren't we, hon?
For every 5 boxes you buy from the Lozier family, we will donate 1 box to Tidewater Hal.
There you go.
And that's
so
our
we'll have cookies
personal.
For the guys.
That's our personal.
Chip's putting in a plug for Thin Mints. All right, everybody. Well, that's good. What's that?
If he sends me the shipping, I'll send it to him.
Corey's in for Thin Mints, and now we're going to start a cookie list. So you can make your own list on the cookies. I'm not doing that list. I did the fishing show list. You can go ahead and take care of the cookies. Very cool. All right, well, I think we'll start wounding it up. You ready to hit the music, Maestro?
What would you like?
I don't know. We don't have any music yet. We're going to get some music. Hey, now
about,
we got Samoas.
I'll let the funky outro go for 30 seconds. Good night, all.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you later.